Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Welcome to the program. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We did a show recently where we talked about all the crime going on in Denver, crimes up all over the country. And we've talked about this for 10 years on the air. People were celebrating that crime was going down, right? The murder rate, stolen cars, crime was going down. And we pointed out that crime was not going down. It was just being postponed because we used to have 1 million people in jail. And during the 90s, it went to 2 million. 2 million! If you look at our murder rate and our incarceration rate in America, we've got one of the most violent societies and one of the most criminal societies in the world. Just compare our murder rate and our incarceration rate. We've got a huge percentage of our own people, citizens, locked up. And so lawyers say we've got the best system in the world. And I think what they mean is we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. I think that's what they mean. The highest paid lawyers does not – it doesn't translate into the best system in the world. When you have all the rape and all the murder that we do in this country – so anyway, somebody from Indiana – where in Indiana? Let me see. They sent me a clipping. Here it is. Not an email, but an actual clipping. That's rare these days. From the Herald – let's see here. The Herald Times out of Bloomington, Indiana – a 23-year-old has been arrested 5 times in less than 3 weeks. 5 times in less than 3 weeks. And his charges include contributing to the delinquency of a minor, dissemination of matter harmful to a minor. He had the police were looking for 15- and 16-year-old girls. One's a runaway. And he had them in his apartment over the weekend. Restraining order, violation of restraining orders. All right, so what's going to happen to this guy? Pretty much, I'm looking for the studio audience for a vote. You think he's going to get flogged? Big trouble? Have his life? Nothing. Nada. Maybe, even if they put him in jail for 3 days, all he would do is watch cable TV, soft porn movies, and play basketball. That's it. So we don't have an effective punishment in our country. We just don't have effective punishment. Yeah, I remember, you know, in Colorado a while back, we had one of the most terrible crimes, and it went almost completely unreported. In fact, not far from our underground bunker here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, there's an Arvada High School, and across the street there's a donut shop. And one of the senior girls, I think it was on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, she was a senior, and she went to the donut shop to buy muffins for the next day. And the guy working behind the counter grabbed her, pulled her over the counter, and raped her. And then he stabbed her repeatedly, and he brought her across the street and put her in a dumpster in the high school parking lot. And then he went back to the store to clean up. And then he had some thought that he wanted to make sure she was dead. So he went back to the dumpster, and it turns out she wasn't dead, and she had climbed out, and she was crawling for help, and he found her. And so he threw her back in the dumpster and put wood over the dumpster, hoping she would die. And then he went back to the store, realized he couldn't quite clean up. He made it look like a robbery. He beat himself up. He called the police. The police figure out what was going on, found the girl. The girl was almost killed, raped and almost killed. And so the governor of Colorado at the time, Roy Romer, I got to question him about this case. I said, you know, this guy should be put to death. And the governor said, oh, I'm against the death penalty. I said, well, governor, then the alternative is what we're going to do to him. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. The alternative is that we're going to let him watch cable TV, videos, You know, in Denver County Jail, they watched three videos Friday night, three videos Saturday night, two videos Sunday night, play basketball, softball, foosball. We're going to keep him warm in winter, cool in summer. We're going to entertain him, educate him, medicate him, legally represent him. You think that's going to scare other rapists straight? So because, you know, what would a Christian conservative do to a man who's convicted of rape? All right, rape is a pretty serious crime. So what would a Christian conservative do versus what would a liberal do? Well, a Christian conservative would execute the rapist. And if you did that, then rape would, for the most part, if you swiftly executed rapist, rape for the most part would become a crime of the past. It would not be an epidemic because rapists are cowards. It would not be an epidemic. And so we would save women. But liberals, what they do is they have pity and compassion on the rapist, and so they sacrifice women on the altar of being kind to the rapist. So let's be kind to the rapist, and if 30,000 women a year get raped, well, that's the price we're going to have to pay because we want to be nice to the rapist. And how about when a guy rapes a woman and the woman becomes pregnant? What happens then? Well, what does the Christian conservative do? The Christian conservative says, well, the rapist should be executed. The rapist should be killed. But the baby is innocent. The baby didn't do anything. You should love the baby. And if the woman doesn't want the baby, well, some family will love the baby. But what does a liberal do? A liberal loves and understands the rapist and kills the baby. How's that? The liberal loves the rapist and cares for the rapist and gives counseling to the rapist and movies and kills the baby. What did the baby do? A conservative Christian says if you're a convicted murderer, by the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. A convicted murderer, the conservative Christian says a convicted murderer should be put to death. And an unborn baby who's innocent, all he's ever done is sucked his thumb and play with his toes. Oh, yeah, and when the baby sleeps, he dreams. And if he gets pinched, he cries. That's an unborn baby. And if the mother sings a song to the baby learns the song before he's even born. That's an unborn baby. And if they're twins in the womb, they wrestle. That's an unborn baby. So a conservative Christian says a convicted murderer should be put to death and a baby, an innocent baby, should be loved. What does a liberal say? Never kill a convicted mass murderer. Only kill unborn children. That's a liberal. We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yurt Live. Listener-supported radio. If you enjoy the show and you think that we do a good job bringing traditional values and principles, whether it be in economics or morality, politics, science, whatever area, history that we enjoy to talk about on the show, if you appreciate how we take observations, education, information, and apply it to the current controversies and give people tools to persuade others the difference between right and wrong, if you appreciate that, then we're asking for your help. You know, for about, 10 years on the show, we always hesitated to ask for money. One guy in Boulder, a computer science, an engineer, real successful guy, he found Bob and Yurt Live on the air, and he said to his wife, hey, let's tune into the show and just turn it off as soon as the guy asked for money. And she laughed, and they watched, and the whole show went, and I never asked for money. And he said, wow, that's weird. That's when we're on TV. Let's tune it in tomorrow night and see when he asked for money. I never asked for money. Weeks went by. They started watching every night, never asked for money. Months. Finally, the couple, they became Christians. Conservative Christians. That was cool. And they were liberal, you know, Boulder, CU Boulderite graduate, drug addict. I don't know drug addicts, but did drugs, messed up. And because we didn't ask for money, we reached that guy and his wife, and I'm thrilled and thankful that that happened. But because we didn't ask for money, we went off the air. So now we're back on the air. We don't want to go off again. If you like the show, please call us 1-800-836-9278 and help out. Maybe you can make a pledge, 1-800-8-NYART. And hello to those of you tuning in on the internet. And I realize today not everyone who hears these spots are listening via the internet, because I had a guy call up and he said, Bob, we've been listening to your show in those internet-only spots. We hear them on audio tape because we get the best of Bob. The best of Bob, every month, we ship out the 8 best shows of the month to people who it's more convenient to listen to a cassette tape, maybe while they're commuting to work, traveling, taking a trip. And if you're interested in finding out about the best of Bob or the monthly album, the monthly Bible study album, then call us at 1-888-NYART or go to our store online at kgov.com, and you could order whatever it is that fits your lifestyle if you enjoy the show, and that will help us reach more people. Thanks. You have to believe strange things to be a liberal. You really do. I mean, liberals, what's it with liberals? Liberals complain about ATM fees, that they're too high and there should be a law against high ATM fees. That's a liberal issue. But they think that taxes are not too high. Now, what's an ATM fee? $1.50? And what are taxes? 50%? Taxes are 50% because the government spends half of the GNP. No, not the high school graduates. Some people think the GNP stands for high school graduates, the gross national product. No, that's what the country produces every year. The government spends half of what the whole economy produces every year, which means regardless of what your slice is, we have basically a 50% tax rate in America. And so they think ATM fees are too high and taxes are too low. Taxes should be raised. Liberals think that the same teacher who cannot help fourth graders learn how to read, right? How many kids graduate in America and they're effectively illiterate? I gave a guy an extra 50 cents to make change out of a $20 bill. It came to $13.50. I gave him a 20. He rung it up, and then he was sort of stumbling a little. So I said, well, here's 50 cents. Make it easier. He could not make the change. That's the third time that's happened to me in my life, that easy. But liberals think the same teachers who can't teach kids how to read are somehow qualified to teach them about sex. You know how easy it is to teach kids how to read? Our five-year-old is being homeschooled, and he reads Dan and Jan Rand. And I said, Cheryl, are you teaching him about Ayn Rand? Oh, no, Dan and Jan Rand. Okay, that's okay. Let's go to the phones in South Bend, Indiana. Craig, speak your mind.
Hey, greetings, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Good. Hey, I had another liberal strange thing, I guess.
Yeah.
For those that listen to IRN, I just heard that on the news before you started. That
Information Radio Network.
Yeah. That, and I don't know why it made the news. Maybe you can shed some light on it for me.
Yeah.
Some mafia guy out east was put in prison, and now he's having additional charges added on to him because his wife smuggled his sperm out of the prison and is now has a child because of that.
Well, and he violated the regulations in jail.
But I'm wondering why that would even make the news.
Oh yeah, that is weird. It would make the news because it's weird. But what is he in jail for?
Oh, for something with the mafia, racketeering or something like that.
Hmm.
So I just thought it was kind of weird. I mean, how often the drugs probably get smuggled in there. And,
yeah, right.
And we hear
Hey, you know, the Aryan Nation, there's racist gangs that operate in the prisons.
Right.
In fact, here in Colorado, we have one of the most secure prisons in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And they operate their criminal, nationwide criminal efforts out of these secure prisons. They call the shots.
Wow.
And they call for executions. And somebody's in jail, three, four jails away, mm-hmm. and they put out the word, and that guy gets whacked. And so, yeah, the death penalty is a deterrent because when you execute a murderer, he doesn't kill anyone else.
All right.
All right, Craig.
So I just wanted to throw that out. I thought that was really strange.
It is strange. I agree.
But
yeah, I agree. Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Liberals advocate, not every liberal, but I mean this is a liberal issue, they advocate conjugal visits for prisoners. Now, I know that we have some public school teachers tuning in who don't know what that means, but I don't want to give out too much information so they can look it up.
Right.
And for their sake, that starts with a C, not a K. Conjugal visits. But anyway, liberals, they even advocate that, some of them.
Yeah.
So
doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Hey, we've been on a bash liberal kick. I don't
good.
Know why.
They need it.
But Craig, thanks for your call.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Appreciate that. Now, in Indianapolis.
How you doing, Bob?
Who's this, Larry?
Yeah, sure is. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, you're a conservative, right?
Conservative right-winger, correct.
Okay, now you want freedoms like the Founding Fathers had suggested for us.
Freedom is a good thing.
You want it, then. In our society, you want to have individual and be able to make up your mind and make a choice, right?
Within the constraint of good law, yes.
Within the constraint of good law. What kind of law is that? Biblical law?
Well, that murder is wrong. Is murder
Ten Commandments.
Larry, is murder absolutely wrong?
Yeah, it is. But you want the Ten Commandments, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, you don't want the Ten Commandments.
No, I don't.
Well, Bob, the actual bottom line to all that is, well, you were talking last night, if you remember, you were saying how people did not want to be free, and they actually don't want to be free.
You're the one who said that,
they
Larry,
want
on
one
the show.
Man.
Larry, you're the one who said that.
You were saying it last night.
You're so strange, Larry.
You said that you want to be free, and then when you go along with the things that conservatives are doing now, they don't want any freedom. They want to delegate all their freedom to one man,
okay.
George Bush, to make all these decisions.
Hey, Larry, when you call in, it would be so good if you stayed on one point.
Well, I'm at right here. Your freedom.
Debating with you is like debating with runny scrambled eggs.
People don't want freedom, Bob. You got to understand.
All right, let me ask you a question. The other night, you were saying that we could not know anything for sure. There were no absolutes.
There are no absolutes.
Okay, let me ask you this. Was it absolutely wrong for the Nazis to kill all the Jewish families they killed?
No.
That wasn't. Is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman?
No.
Okay, now, are you a Christian?
No.
I could have figured that out from your first two answers. I knew you were not a Christian, because if you were a Christian, you would have learned that it's absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman.
Well, what can we do about the Nazis being killing all the Jews?
Well, for starters, we could be wise enough to know that that's wrong.
That's wrong. Do you think that the white man coming here and infecting the Indians with smallpox was wrong?
Well, if the Indians given millions of white men lung cancer through introducing them to tobacco, if that
that's
was wrong.
That's revenge.
Well, yeah, so we're even. So let's call it even and forgive one another.
Well, sometime in
let's
history.
Let's have a group hug.
Sometime in history that the Germans are going to have to pay for their transgressions, too. That's the way it works.
So, but Larry, if you don't know that it's absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman, you should. Can I ask you how old you are?
47.
47.
Probably older than you are, Bob.
And did your parents ever teach you? Did they ever sit you down and say, "Larry, there's no such thing as right and wrong"? Did you get that from your parents?
I think it's more. No, I didn't. But I think more and more is becoming relative.
I wouldn't think that you got it from your parents, because your parents would probably teach you, "Don't lie, don't steal, don't hit your sister." They would teach you things that were right. And somewhere along the line, either because you hate yourself or you hate God, you've been convinced that there's no such thing as right or wrong.
It's hypocrisy, Bob, when people are talking about right and wrong and then going out and doing wrong. You know,
okay, Larry, let's just talk about that. Just that, what you just said. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
If there are no absolutes, then it's not absolutely wrong to say one thing and do another.
That's right.
So in your worldview, there's nothing wrong with hypocrites.
There you
go. In the Christian worldview, then you're a liar, and being a hypocrite is sinful.
The only thing that Christianity is good for is absolving man of his sins so he don't have to face up to them and have the law to keep him confined.
So, hey, Larry, you obviously enjoy deep thinking.
I've got a book here I'm reading.
Larry, you try to analyze things, but you can't run until you can walk, and you can't walk until you can crawl. And
Bob,
if you're 40,
Larry,
if you're 47 years old and you don't know the difference between right and wrong, you don't believe in absolute truth.
It's relative.
You should. Is that absolutely true?
No, it can't be.
Larry, you contradict yourself
more
times in one phone call than I take breaths.
Well, I tell you what, Bob, the last thing I'll say to you, because I know you're getting tired of me, you're going to cut me off. You have to understand that people do not want freedom. They reject it.
Larry,
they dread it, and
whatever
else.
Is the truth on that or
why
any...
Why they don't want it is because of responsibility.
Larry, when you make a statement, then I like to reply.
Okay.
Whatever is the truth about people's desire for freedom or not, you are not qualified to make a valid observation and come to a conclusion.
Well,
because
they don't want freedom
Larry,
they don't want the responsibility comes along with it.
Hey, Larry, if you think there's no such thing as absolutes and everything is relative,
then
why do you feel that you need to call in and correct someone else?
I'm not trying to correct you.
Of course you are. You're not even honest.
Off.
Not only are you dumb, but you're a liar.
You cannot, Bob, anybody's not going to change the way you think because you're involved in a system which does not allow for that.
Larry, I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy set up there,
Larry, are hierarchies bad?
Yes.
Absolutely bad?
Yes, not absolutely.
Okay, then shut up. Hey, Larry, as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, when people who disagree with us come to our church,
mm-hmm.
we let them present. We let them give the Sunday school, give the Bible study at night. We let the Mormons give the Bible study.
What I didn't like about you, Bob?
And then we ask them questions to try to see if they could defend their position. So we're not afraid to think outside of the box. The Bible says, God says, come let us reason together.
That's right, reason.
And it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen.
You can't reason with absolutes, Bob. And a religion that fronts out fanatical claims.
You can't, rethink that. You can't reason with absolutes.
With absolutes, you cannot.
Can you perhaps, how about the laws of physics?
The laws of physics.
For example, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
You're talking scientific, Bob.
Yeah, it's all truth.
Yeah, but when you get down to religion, it's nothing but metaphysics, convictional language.
Well,
that's
your opinion. Are you right
not
on that?
Not my opinion, but that's the fact.
Is it absolutely the fact?
They're the facts as I see them.
Is it absolutely the fact that religion is just meaningless?
It is to those who
No, I mean absolute. Larry, absolute. If you were never alive, is it absolutely true that all religion is wrong?
If I was never alive, there's no purpose for me to be here.
That's the first thing you said that I agree with, so you're not here any longer. We'll be right back. Wouldn't it have been fun to talk to Larry about science? Oh, boy, we're in a commercial break. When we get back on the air, I'm going to ask the audience what they think about that. What if Larry and I actually talked about science and the laws of science? How well informed do you think he'd be? That'd be a kick and a half. Hey, our phone number, if you are interested in helping us stay on the air, it's 1-800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. Now, in Denver, we're up to 11 people. Is that right? 11 out of 20. Huh. That's so good. 11 out of 20. We only need 9 more people in Denver. 9. Solamente nuevo. Nuevo? Nueve. Yo no hablo español porque yo no estudio mucho en mi escuela. Y mi profesor es estúpido. Oh, 11. 11? 11. 11. See, we've got people in the studio audience. Tonight's our Spanish class. And everybody in the studio audience, hablas español. Se, hablo, habla, hablas, hablan, hablas, habla, hablan. Ah, so-so, meds and meds. All right, well, that'll be fun when we get to our Spanish class. Actually, we've got the plot, the manuscript that I wrote some years ago, the overview of the Bible. We have the plot available in Espanol. It's called La Trama. La Trama. And you know who's translating La Trama? This guy, he does translation in Denver. If, say, the Denver Zoo needs some of their signs translated into Espanol, they hire this guy. And he does the news on the Spanish radio stations in town on the hour. I don't want to give out his name because some of the liberals tuning in will try to make trouble for him. But they can figure out his name, but liberals sometimes get stumped easily. So, but anyway, he's Francisco Miraval. He's doing the translation of the plot into La Trama. What does La Trama mean? La Trama. ¿Qué es la trama? Oh, the story? The story? Ah, well, the plot, I hope. Welcome back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. To be a liberal, you have to believe that self-esteem is more important than actually doing something to develop it. You just give people self-esteem. We have to give these children self-esteem. No, just teach them how to do square roots. Just do that, and they'll get self-esteem. Just teach them how to do square roots. All right? Liberals believe that we have a problem with global warming because it's up a quarter of a degree in the last century, when it's varied by many degrees for thousands of years in the past, before there was any industrial revolution. Let's go to the phones in Cleveland, Ohio, 1-800.
I'm on.
Diamond.
Hello? Oh, my God.
Hello, Diamond.
Oh, you know what? I've been wanting to call you for a long time now.
Well, I'm glad you have.
But I'm actually calling you from Denver. She asked me where I was from, and I'm from Cleveland.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
I'm sorry.
No problem, Diamond.
This is a question I have for you, okay?
Yes.
You said that when a person commits murder, they should be executed, right?
Yes.
And you said that that's in the Bible.
Yes.
Okay, my question to you is, the person who actually does the execution becomes a murderer.
I would volunteer, by the way. I would do the execution. As the pastor of Denver Bible Church, if given the opportunity, I'd be happy to execute the murderer. So,
okay.
So what's the difference between killing and murder? What's the difference? Because there are two words in English for kill and murder, right? I mean, those are two different words. Diamond.
You know what? I thought it was the same. If you kill...
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever eaten a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich?
You know what? I'm a vegetarian.
Okay. Well, did you ever eat the tomato?
I hate tomatoes.
Have you ever eaten anything?
No, I really do.
Diamond, Have you ever eaten almonds? I don't know why almonds just popped into my mind, but have you ever eaten
almonds? Are delicious. I love it. Yes.
All right. If you pull a weed out of your garden,
yes.
Have you murdered it?
No.
You killed it.
Well,
you killed it.
Yeah, I did kill it.
Yeah, the difference between killing and murder, if you take the life from some organism in a way that's not immoral and unlawful, that's killing. But if you immorally, without just cause, kill a human being, then you become a murderer. So in the Bible, God says, thou shalt not murder, and thou right. shalt not steal. But then he says, if anyone murders another person, then he shall surely be put to death. That's in the Old and the New Testament.
Okay, Bob, I think what confuses me is the person that actually does it
is obeying God.
Because he
well, we just
he
talked
has murdered to, someone. So you, how does God look at him?
In the Bible was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament, and the New Testament in Greek. And in those languages, just like in English, just like in virtually every language in the world, there are different words for murder and kill.
Okay.
And in the Ten Commandments, God said in Hebrew, thou shalt not murder. And he said in the very next chapter, in Exodus chapter 21, he said, and anyone who murders his neighbor shall surely be put to death. The government shall put him to death. And so if the government keeps a murderer, a convicted murderer, alive, then that government is sinning. They're disobeying God. And if the government executes the murderer, then the government is doing justly. Even if somebody didn't believe in God, right, Diamond? Let's say they didn't believe in God. Well, then at least the death penalty would be fair. You know, liberals always say that's not fair. They want fairness, socialism. That's not fair. Well, if somebody murders a young woman because she turned him down on a date and he killed her, then if you kill him, it's perfectly fair. You couldn't get more fair. And God is a just God, and he makes the punishment fit the crime. And so he says, you shall surely execute the murderer. And the Bible says that over and over and over and over and over.
And if you were to personally do that,
yes,
because this guy raped this girl because she wouldn't go out with him.
Yeah.
And you actually committed, you executed him.
Yes.
God wouldn't hold that against you. God
doesn't hold when you obey God, the Lord doesn't hold it against you. It's when you disobey God, like for example, God created man. We didn't just happen by accident.
Correct.
And so we didn't happen by accident. So therefore, if let's say some guy is hurting a woman. Well, God loves the guy and he loves the woman. But when the guy starts to hurt the woman and he's not repentant, he's not sorry, then God gets angry at the guy and has mercy and compassion on the woman. Does that make sense? So God gets mad. God gets mad at people who disobey him because what that means is they're hurting others and they're hurting themselves.
Okay.
Sin is just another word for hurting people.
Uh-huh.
If you unjustly hurt people, you're sinning. And so in our country, we have about, 16,000 murders a year? And God in the Bible says if you have the swift death penalty, you'll have almost no crime, very little crime. So because liberals are against the death penalty, it's their fault that we have 16,000 murderers kill people every year. It's their fault. Because when you have the swift death penalty, you have very little crime. And that God says all these things in the Bible. So, you know, some people don't believe the Bible, so we discuss that issue, whether the Bible's credible or not. And the Bible's not true just because I believe it. The Bible is either true or false or somewhere in between, and I've been persuaded by the evidence that it's true.
And that's also true when you were talking about the Aryan Nation in prison, that they can actually have someone killed.
Right.
And four jails away.
Right.
How do they do that?
Well, they have, you know, racist inmates in all these prisons, and they put out the word, we want this guy killed. Didn't, was it John Gotti or somebody called for a hit, and he arranged it through the Aryan Nation in prison. And the guy he wanted killed was transferred to a prison with some Aryan Nation gang members in it. And they did, there was an effort to kill the guy, but it was thwarted, and the whole plan was found out. So that was one case where they failed, but there have been cases where they've succeeded. And so, Diamond, if there's a murderer and Diamond says, don't kill him, put him in jail. And so we put him in jail in disobedience to God, and then that guy kills a guard. You know whose fault it is? Diamond's.
It's my fault.
It's Diamond's fault.
Because I wanted him to live.
Right. It's because you were advocating very destructive policies. And so, you know, in Nazi Germany, when they killed 6 million men, women, and children, Jews, along with, you know, many, many other people, all those who advocated it or tolerated it shared in the guilt. That's one thing about guilt. You know, poison, you could dilute poison. So if you take a teaspoon of arsenic, it's going to kill you. But if you throw a teaspoon of arsenic into a reservoir, it's not going to hurt anybody because you dilute it. But guilt is infinitely dilutable and it remains effective. If one person murders a single man, then that one guy is guilty of murder. If a gang of 20 murder the one guy, they're all guilty. And the entire, you know, Nazi... basically, in Nazi Germany, you had the Nazi Party come into power in 1933, and then there were hundreds of mayors that had been mayors all over the country, and they stayed in office. They didn't get booted out. They all stayed in office, and they supported the Nazi Party 100%. And so they were all guilty. They were all guilty. And I'm half... Well, I'm Dutch and German and Italian. Italiano.
Okay.
So, Diamond, so guilt spreads real easily. And you can't wash the blood off your hands with soap and water. So if you advocate policies that are destructive because either you don't care what God said about it or you disagree with God, then you bear in the responsibility of whatever harm comes from those policies. Like those in Germany who said that Jews should be kicked out of their homes and their money taken and rounded up in camps, all those Germans bear the guilt of the Holocaust. We'll be right back. Howdy, this is Bob, and I'd like to tell you about that monthly album I mentioned just 15 minutes ago. The monthly album, once a month, we mail out to people on our mailing list an album of Bible study tapes. There's normally 6 tapes in the album, and we teach through the books of the Bible. And some of the albums are topical, like on criminal justice or predestination and free will. Or what kind of attitude should a Christian have toward sinners and believers? Should we judge? Should we always forgive? Things like that. Should we confront? Should we not confront? Should we be only tolerant? So, in fact, we have all that in an album called Nicer Than God. And that's a fun one, Nicer Than God. So if you call up 1-888-8-NYART, or 1-800-8-NYART, either way, if you call up, you get, and you say, hey, I'm interested in the monthly album. What would happen? Well, we'd ask if you have a credit card. If you do, we get the number, expiration date, and then every month on the 6th of the month will process your credit card for $34.95. It includes shipping. And around the middle of the month, we mail you a Bible study album. And, you know, people right now, we just had a guy, I just heard from a guy today. He listened to Romans Volume 1, and he said he absolutely loved it. He couldn't wait to get Romans Volume 2. He ordered that. He got that. And the last, we've done Romans in three volumes, and the third volume is not out yet. It'll be out in a few weeks. And he said, this Romans series is so fun. I want to get the last album. We said, sorry, it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. But there are, 24 albums that are ready right now. And so if you call us up, you start with the plot, the Bible overview, an overview of the whole story of the Bible. And then what do you get after that? Well, within the first two or three, you get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened back in the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago? Oh, is it fun stuff? It's enjoyable. There's a whole world inside the Bible that most people don't know about. Many people just discard it, but they don't know about it. So since it's the number one bestseller of all time, you think it'd be wise to at least be aware of it. Hey, that would have been fun to talk with Larry about science. If Larry would have hung on when we started talking about science, that would have been a trip. So, and back to Cleveland here. Hey, Cleveland, you still there? Cleveland's gone, huh?
No, I'm here.
Howdy, Cleveland. Let me give out our number here, 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. 9278. Diamond, did you hear that caller, Larry, from Indianapolis?
Yes, I did. I've heard Larry, I'm trying to think, has it been twice this week?
Well, he's called in.
He's an alcoholic, right?
No. No, that's another guy named John or Robert or somebody.
Okay.
Or John, Paul, Robert, or I don't know his name.
Larry was on just before I was, right?
Yes. And Larry... Larry is the liberal who says that there's no such thing as absolute right and wrong.
Okay, yeah, I do remember Larry.
Yeah, and that it's not absolutely wrong to violently rape women. You know why I asked him those questions, Diamond? Because I had nothing better to do. No, I asked him those questions because I've asked those questions of hundreds of liberals for more than a decade, on the air, at college campuses, to professors, off the air. And I asked them, is it absolutely wrong to violently rape a woman? And do you know they cannot say yes? They can't say yes. That's how intelligent they are. I was speaking up at CU in Boulder at the Memorial Union, the center of campus, and we had about 200 students and staff members, and I was talking about absolute right and absolute wrong. And a woman got so mad in the audience, so I asked her to come up onto the stage, and I gave her the microphone, and I asked her, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And this 20-year-old CU in Boulder, University of Colorado student, she said, no. And the audience cheered for her. And they wonder why they have a problem with rape and drugs on campus.
Until it would actually happen to her.
Well, she might have gotten enough of education that she would still think it's not wrong. See, that's
go
why
ahead, do what you want.
That's why
do what
they
you
keep
want, Jimmy.
That's why they keep people in school for almost 20 years because it's a lot of work to make people this stupid. You cannot make people as stupid as they become in a 6-month course. You need them for about 20 years. All
and
right.
That Diamond you're talking about they're not funny, but
yeah.
When I listen to you, I laugh so hard because I'm the tone in your voice.
Yeah.
Because I know you really mean what you're saying. That's why I enjoy talking to you.
Yeah.
I enjoy listening to you every night.
Well, Diamond, how do you listen if you live in Ohio?
I was born in Cleveland, but I live in Denver.
Oh, you live in Denver.
Right.
All right.
Yes,
hey, my wife is...
And I listen to you. I'm a courier. And I listen to you while I'm doing my route.
Have we ever
I run right in, deliver what I have to deliver, come right back, see if I missed anything.
Have we ever made you miss a turn?
I concentrate on you, and I concentrate on what I have to do.
All right, good. Watch out, you know, when you're driving. Be careful.
Okay.
Hey,
I really appreciate you
taking
my call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. God bless you. That was nice. And in South Bend, Indiana night, Dean, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome.
I was reading in the Old Testament. I'm probably, like I said, I've talked to you before, I'll be the first Catholic to make it all the way through the Bible all by himself.
Okay.
But I was reading in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, and it's really good when Jehu tells the eunuchs to throw Jezebel out of the tower.
Jehu was a king in Israel.
Right.
And he told them to throw Jezebel out, huh?
Yeah. And she goes, they fling her out of the tower, and she goes because of her sinfulness. And the eunuchs throw her out of the tower, and she basically splatters on the ground. Then he drives his chariot over, and the dogs eat her up.
Yeah, that's a pretty gross story.
Yeah.
And what did Hillary do? What did Jezebel do that made the king so angry?
Well, what she did is she...
A little flirtatious?
No, it wasn't flirtatious. What she did was she worked with the previous king to cause him to sin and go away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was definitely a bad influence. She was causing others to sin.
Yeah, but didn't it talk about her makeup case?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, she was... Basically, making herself up to be a slut.
Well, because here's the new potential political power coming into the city, and she made herself up and put rouge on her cheeks and did up her lips because she's going to try to
seduce
the next guy.
Yeah, and eventually, he wanted nothing to do with that.
Eventually, that kind of thing gets you in trouble one way or another. They had an ivory palace, an all ivory furniture.
Uh-huh.
You recall that?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, archaeologists have, in the last century, in excavations, they have discovered that palace and that furniture, although it was all destroyed,
right.
But thousands of shards of ivory.
Wow.
And get this, and this is, these archaeologists, they're not Christians. They, in fact, some of them are very viscerally against the Bible, but they even found in that palace, they found a makeup kit with the specks of the colors that Jezebel undoubtedly made herself up with.
Wow.
And it was a very exquisite gems and ivory makeup case. And, you know, there have been, this is not an exaggeration, 1,000 times where archaeologists and historians have confirmed details or at least circumstances that are explicitly stated in the Bible.
Yeah, and other civilizations' records document the Bible too. Roman,
yeah.
Assyrian.
And the Babylonians,
yeah.
And the Egyptians. We have conversations in the Bible that, like letters that are written by the king in Israel to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the historians would say, oh, that's all make-believe. None of that happened. And then we find inscriptions in Egypt, in their records, the other side of the letters that went back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's factual.
It's really awesome.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah.
There was another, just a little bit later in 2 Kings, there was another, it was ironic, and it was almost humorous, when Jehu was, he called together all the worshipers of Baal. And he says, we're going to have a sacrifice to Baal. And guess who the sacrifice was?
The wicked people.
Yeah, all the idolaters.
Hey, you know what's interesting? In all this terrorism over in Israel,
right.
And Saddam Hussein has said if America attacks Iraq, he's going to double the amount of money he gives to each suicide bomber.
Right.
And so the liberals say, there's no evidence linking Saddam to terrorism. That just cracks me up right there.
Hey, Bob,
yeah.
You know, when we're talking about Iraq,
yeah.
Our country's moral justification leaves a lot to be desired. We have 40 million aborted babies.
Oh, I agree. We're right. It's this nation does many things. We have a crime epidemic, not only abortion, but when you kill unborn children, it sort of makes your heart hardened against the innocent, and you become defenders of the guilty.
Right.
That's one of the things that happens. So we have a tremendous amount of guilt. But do you think because of that, it's wrong for us to fight against terrorists?
Well, let me put it to you this way, and I'm not trying to evade it. You remember when you showed on your television show a picture of an abortion?
Yes.
And it was gross.
Yes.
Okay, I was sort of, you know, it's like, it's a choice. That's somebody else's business.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, I thought that was the most evil, heinous thing a country could allow to have happen.
Yeah, you watch a video of a little baby sucking his thumb and grabbing his toes, and then you see the ultrasound of the abortionist going with a forceps and begin to rip the baby's body apart.
Right.
It's absolutely horrifying how the baby tries to get away and the abortionist rips the baby's leg off.
Well,
and his heart begins beating 200 times a second, and he kills the baby.
What I'm kind of wondering is you've got one country that commits 40, probably up to 50 million of them by now. And then you've got another country that will not allow that kind of stuff.
Right.
So which country is really terrorist?
Well, that's a very good point. There, you know, I've said many times, because of the amount of Christian morality we had in our inception when we were a nascent country.
Right.
And all the Bible Christian influence that went into our founding, because of what we know and we've turned against God. We are the world's leading exporters of evil.
Right.
America is, with the pornography and the abortion. And just, you know, we do things that help to undermine people's happy and stable lives. That's what we do. And so, yeah, I agree, we're evil. But think about it this way. If you got an evil guy who's the head of a house and somebody's killing his children, does he have the right to defend his children, even though he's evil, against murderers?
Yeah, he does have a right.
He does, right. So even the Roman Empire, even though they were evil, they still had the right to arrest and try murderers. So even evil governments have the right to do right. And they should repent of the wrong that they do. But that you can still stand with your neighbor and defend your neighbor's children against murderers, even if you're evil. And hopefully doing some good will make you think harder about right and wrong. Because in times like this, the national debate is about right and wrong. And that's
right.
Real good.
Well, you know, from the Iraqi standpoint, at least from what I've read about it, is there's been hundreds of thousands of children that have died over there because of an embargo.
No, it would be they died because they live under a murderous tyrant who if you love Iraqi people, you want America to kill Saddam Hussein to give 12 million people freedom.
Bob,
yeah.
How can we fix our government, though? Because, see, we're the big kid on the block.
We have a much more difficult time fixing our government.
Yeah.
Because we have no authority over our government.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The government is in charge.
It's kind of awkward because the situation we're in is if we protect our children, we're going to go over there and if we get rid of Hussein, we're going to start promoting abortion over there too.
Well, whatever government we set up in Afghanistan will be evil. It is evil already. You should hear, you know, you probably have heard the things going on over there. But,
oh, yeah.
Hey, but Dean, you could still, and thank you for your call, you could still fight to stop murderers. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.